We have just had portrayed to us one of the wonderful stories of the Word of God, and it's true. And it reveals to us that the real fighter is God Almighty. He is constantly working on our behalf. He is endeavoring to save us from ourselves and from an eternity of judgment that we all deserve. Before God created the heavens and the earth, the Lord Jesus gave himself to fight for us. He knew that he would have the greatest struggle of all when he died on the cross 2,000 years ago. And at that moment, everything that we deserve, he took upon himself. And he won the battle. He cried out in triumph, "It is finished." And then he rose from the grave. And my friends, right now, Jesus Christ, our fighter, if I can use that term, sits in victory, wanting all of us to have the victory that he so dearly paid for. And the thing we need to realize is that people are able to experience deliverance through other people. That's God's plan from the very beginning. Old Testament, New Testament. In Colossians chapter 1, we see that the Apostle Paul was a fighter for others. He talks of what Christ did. He says, "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man, that we may present every man perfect, complete in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving, fighting, according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." The Apostle Paul gave his life so that others would understand that Jesus Christ is the deliverer and has fought on our behalf. But Paul had to allow God to win the battle in him first before he could win the battle for other people. And the verse prior to that, it says, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." Let me give you a couple thoughts as we finish out here tonight. First of all, to be able to be used of God to see others reached, delivered, complete in Christ, we first must allow that to happen to us. You see, Paul, for a good part of his, for all of his early adult life, was opposed to the Lord. He was religious. If you were to look at the life of the Apostle Paul, you would have found a man that probably would rank in the top 1% of people that lived a moral, good, righteous life. Well-educated, fully in compliance with the law of Israel. And yet his dependence was on himself like so many people today. So many people that call themselves Christians are actually just like the Apostle Paul, depending upon works, rituals, other types of religious experiences to get them to heaven, not willing to humble themselves and realize that Christ is the one who rescues, not we ourselves or any institution. But God was gracious enough and met him on the Damascus Road and humbled him. And as he fell before God, he trusted in Jesus Christ at that moment. And God saved him. And my friend, before we can ever find the purpose of our life to really fight for others, we must first allow Jesus to win the battle in our heart. And my friend, I trust that you will be like the Apostle Paul as God meets with you, and he may meet with you right now. If you don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven, I guarantee you the Holy Spirit is good enough to expose that to you. You may be the best person in this room as far as overall conduct. But my friend, if you've never met Jesus Christ and allowed him to save you, admitting you cannot do it yourself, that it is completely a work of Christ, if you've never done that, then you need to let him save you. That's a humbling thing. Who wanted to dip in the dirty Jordan? And by the way, that's an accurate account. I've been there 7 times. But he had to humble himself and trust Jehovah God, and God did it. And my friends, God keeps his word. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is absolutely true. And if we're willing to put aside our pride and willing to put aside our own self-trust, even if it may be very, very sincere, and realize, I do not deserve heaven. I deserve judgment. I deserve hell. And realize that Jesus fought for us, and he won the battle on the cross. And if we are willing to say, Lord, would you save me? The Bible says he will. And he can do that tonight, friend. You know, just like God arranged for that little maid to be in Israel just the right time, God has arranged very potentially for you to be here at the very right time to hear this message. That's where it starts. But then all of you that do know the Lord as your Savior, it doesn't mean that you automatically become a fighter for souls. You see, the Apostle Paul not only allowed God to win the battle in his life for his salvation, he also allowed God to work in his life in the matter of surrender and dependence. And he said, I learned the great truth that I cannot do it myself. It is Christ in me, the hope of glory. And the Apostle Paul yielded to what God was doing in his heart. And he began to proclaim the truth about the victory of Christ, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom. He began to understand that he was to be a fighter for others. Folks, this is what it's all about. If we know Christ as Savior who fought for us, it only follows that that ought to be the passion of our soul. If he is in us, then we should have the very same sacrificial spirit. And that's what happened in the life of the Apostle Paul. And he wanted to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. But you know, it doesn't come with just going through the flow of life. He said, I labor, I strive, I agonize, I fight. I am giving of myself to see other people through. I am absolutely committed to the victory. But here's the good news. Not according to his own strength, but according to his energy, his working, which worketh in me mightily. The same God that saved the Apostle Paul through the tremendous victory of Jesus Christ is the same God who energized him, worked in his life, delivered him from himself, and allowed him to have the heart of Christ, to fight for others and to bring them through to maturity in Christ Jesus. Folks, when we get a hold of that, just like was portrayed in this tonight, the joy of knowing your life is being used by the Lord to accomplish his purpose, I promise you, is the greatest joy on this planet. There are people in this room thrilled about being alive, thrilled about their life. It may not be easy, but they are deliverers. They're seeing people come to know Christ. They are seeing people through to maturity. They are giving of themselves sacrificially through the power of the deliverer. And my friends, that's the greatest joy. The Apostle Paul said, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And he also said, I have fought a good fight. And when Jesus saw the Apostle Paul, he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And that ought to be the heart cry of every one of us. Folks, life is not worth living if it's not being lived for others. You may get a lot of things you want throughout life, but if you're not allowing God to use you to see people changed and to be a fighter for the fighter, then you're going to end up empty at the end of your life. I've met way too many people that have known Christ for quite a while who end up empty. Going to be empty at the judgment seat of Christ. I've also known others who have just given themselves through the power of God for others. And what a rich standing at the judgment seat. And so many people will be standing there saying, I was delivered because of that man, because of that woman. That's going to be you talk about emotional moments, folks. It's a good thing we'll be glorified because we wouldn't be able to handle it when we see what Christ has done through others. So as we conclude, first of all, the one who fought for you, have you allowed him to deliver you? Would you be willing to be as humble as Naaman was there at that time to be delivered by doing what the Bible says? Pride holds us back. But friend, there's no one here that is righteous enough to get to heaven. We're all sinners. I could not get to heaven on my own. But when the blood of Jesus Christ, his victory, is applied to your life, all of your sins are washed away, and judicially you stand in the righteousness of Christ, and you can go to heaven and have absolute confidence of eternal life. Friend, tonight, God brought you here to be healed eternally. I encourage you to let God do that for you tonight. And Christian, are we really fighting for others? How do we plan to spend the next 7 days? How do we plan to spend the 24 hours tomorrow? What is our passion? How overwhelmed about the triumph of Christ in our life are we, and how much do we want to see other people through? I'm telling you, that's where life really is. That's where God moves. That's where purpose is. That's where joy is. May God make us all fighters for the fighter and to live out his life. Let's bow for prayer. So we bow before the Lord here tonight. How many of you here that who have trusted Christ as Savior, you already know that. You know that you yielded to him. You humbled yourself and asked him to save you at some point in your life. How many of you tonight would say, Pastor, you know, I really am burdened that I live for others as I ought to. I know the joy and the reality of seeing people through, seeing people come to know Christ, seeing people grow in the Lord is not where it ought to be. In our prayer meeting the last couple of days, God really dealt with us as men about that. And you'd say, I want to be truly the servant of the one who fought for me. And I've got to live, my mindset must be for others. And God's touched my heart through the program tonight and through the preaching. And Pastor, I'd appreciate your prayer for me. I want to be that. I need that grace to work in me, and I yield myself to the Lord. With heads bowed, how many of you would just raise your hand and ask for prayer tonight? I really want to be that kind of a Christian. God bless you. That's wonderful. Thank you. You may put your hands down. You may be here tonight and you'd say, Pastor, if you were to look me directly in the eye and ask me, do you know Christ as your Savior? I couldn't give you a firm answer. I'd say, I hope so. The minute we say in our heart, hope so, it means we're depending on something less than the finished work of Christ alone. And tonight you'd say, you know, this is not easy for me. I've really tried to be religious, or I've tried to be good, I've tried to be sincere, but I realize that I've never just depended upon Christ alone, asked him to save me, and that I know I have an eternal relationship with him. I would like to know that I'm truly born from above, that I am on my way to heaven. And I'm willing to humble myself like the many that just raised their hand, and I would like to ask you to pray for me. I'm not going to point you out. I just want this to be a time in which you really do allow God to do the work in your heart that he wants to have done. So with heads bowed, no one looking, how many here would say, would you add me to the prayer, Pastor? I'm burdened about my soul here tonight. I'm going to admit it. I'm going to be humble like Naaman. I have needs. Leprosy is a picture of sin. I know that I'm not perfect, and I know I need deliverance. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up so that I can see it? Then you can put it down. Anyone like that here tonight? We'd love to have the privilege of praying for you that God would work in your heart. Anyone like that? All right, God bless you. Amen. That's wonderful. Amen. Others here tonight? Anyone else? This is so important. We're talking about eternity. All right. Lord, thank you for the many that raise their hand about wanting to be truly those that you use to take the battle that you won and to see it won in others' lives. Lord, would you work in each life individually and give great victory? I pray for these that raise a hand about salvation and others that may be struggling with real assurance of whether they truly know you as Savior. Lord, would tonight even be the day, the night that they come to that assurance because they have just simply called upon you, trusted in you alone to save them. So Lord, would you work mightily in these final moments now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.